Q106.7 weather.
Here's your KQNK forecast. Bright sunshine today with highs around 94. Winds out of the southeast, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows level off around 67. Tonight, partly cloudy skies. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Tomorrow, slight chance for storms. Daytime highs approaching 89. Upper 80s Wednesday and Thursday with a slight chance of thunderstorms Thursday. From the Weatherology Weather Center, I'm staff meteorologist Ulua Lockwood. Right now, 79.
Covering Kansas and Nebraska, this is KQNK News on Classic Hits Q106.7 and Superstar Country 102.5.
This Kansas Information Network update is brought to you by Eaton Roofing and Exteriors.
Hi, I'm Brock Wilson. Here are today's headlines from 12 News. The Emporia City Council will hold a special meeting Wednesday to take action on pending ballot petitions and related legal actions. This comes after a Lyon County District Court ruled that a citizen-led petition against data centers will be put on the ballot for voters in November. The Kansas Bureau of Investigation is investigating a deadly officer-involved shooting in Kansas City, Kansas. The KBI says early Sunday, KCK police shot a man who they say raised a gun toward officers. This happened as police were investigating a report of gunfire. No officers were hurt. And a new batch of items from Canada is about to become more expensive after the U.S. imposes 50% tariffs on $20 billion worth of Canadian goods. The tariffs affect items like concrete and plywood and alcoholic beverages. In Wichita, Brock Wilson, 12 News.
You're listening to the Kansas Information Network.
We asked parents who adopted teens to share their journey.
Nathan has taught me to embrace the moment. Age-wise, I mean, I'm in my late 60s. I'm old enough to be his grandfather. Will he be embarrassed to acknowledge me as his dad? I think the most important thing we can do is let them know that they're safe, that they're valued and cared for and loved, and that they're important.
I knew I wanted to be adopted by him because of how he taught me to be the person who I am today. And it's coming from a dad that didn't expect to become a dad. And I feel very proud to be his son.
That was what he needed, and he was what I needed. Every day is full of new opportunities. That's what it's been about, realizing the simple things that it takes to make such a huge difference in these kids' lives.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care at AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
I'm Joanna. Your KQNK News is brought to you by the Norton County Hospital, providing the best care right here at home. Lansing Correctional Facility resident Michael Moore, age 35, died Saturday, August 22nd. Moore was found unresponsive in his cell. Staff and emergency medical services personnel administered life-saving measures but were unable to revive him. The cause of death is pending the results of an independent autopsy. Per protocol, when a resident dies in the custody of the Kansas Department of Corrections, the death is under investigation by the KDOC and the Kansas Bureau of Investigation. This investigation is ongoing. Moore was serving a sentence for convictions of driving under the influence, aggravated escape, possession of opiates, narcotics, or stimulants, and robbery in Sedgwick County. His earliest eligible release date was May 10th of 2031. The Lansing Correctional Facility, formerly the Kansas State Penitentiary, opened in 1867. The facility only serves males and maintains maximum and medium units totaling just over 1,900 beds and a 500-bed minimum security unit. The Republican River Compact Administration will hold its annual meeting at 9:30 Central Time on Thursday, August 27th at the McCook Community College East Campus, located on East 7th Street in McCook, Nebraska. The RRCA meeting will focus on water-related issues and activities, including compact compliance within the Republican River Basin in Kansas, Colorado, and Nebraska. In addition, RRCA will hold a working session to prepare for the annual meeting at 8:30 Central Time, also at the McCook Community College East Campus location. Both the work session and the annual meeting are open to the public. Kansas, Colorado, and Nebraska entered into the Republican River Compact in 1943 to provide for the equitable division of the basin's waters, remove causes of potential controversy, and promote interstate cooperation and joint action by the states and the U.S. in the efficient use of water and the control of destructive floods. The RRCA is composed of three commissioners representing Kansas, Colorado, and Nebraska, KDA DWR Chief Engineer Earl Lewis, Colorado State Engineer Jason Ullman, and Nebraska Department of Water, Energy, and Environment Chief Water Officer Matt Manning. Individuals who have questions regarding the meeting should contact Chris Badel, KDA Water Management Services Program Manager. The 2026 wheat season gave Kansas producers a good example of just how quickly a promising crop can change when the weather doesn't cooperate. Things started out well. Timely fall moisture and warmer temperatures helped wheat develop strong roots and plenty of tillers, leaving much of the crop in excellent condition by December. But that warm winter came with a downside. Wheat kept growing and using stored soil moisture. Then March and April turned dry, followed by damaging freezes and hail in May. By the time widespread rain finally arrived, much of the crop was too far along to recover its earlier yield potential. K-State wheat specialist Rumalo Lolato and other agricultural experts say the season showed why flexibility can be so important. Modern wheat varieties provided some resilience. In certain freeze-damaged fields, primary tillers were lost, but secondary tillers survived and continued producing heads. Some farmers also chose to graze struggling wheat rather than to take it to grain harvest, giving them another option when yield potential dropped. And timing mattered. Some north-central Kansas fields that received rain during a critical growth stage performed much better than nearby wheat. K-State researchers are now using lessons from seasons like this to help producers make better decisions about fertilizer and other inputs as yield potential changes. The weather may be out of a farmer's control, but researchers say good management can provide more options when conditions take an unexpected turn. I'll be back with more news after this.
Join our stellar team at Norton County Hospital. Looking for a workplace where compassion meets career growth? Look no further. If you're ready to embark on a fulfilling journey surrounded by supportive colleagues and opportunities for personal and professional development, we want you to be part of our family. Explore exciting career offerings and our comprehensive range of benefits, including CAPERS, on the Career tab at ntcohosp.com.
Late Thursday evening, a Rawlins County Sheriff's deputy initiated a traffic stop on a red minivan for a traffic violation on U.S. Highway 36, according to a news release from the sheriff on Facebook. The van had an out-of-state license plate and had six people inside, according to the news release. Deputies began investigating possible human trafficking, the release said. The Thomas County Sheriff's Office was called to assist in the investigation. One person was released and one person was arrested on a requested charge of human trafficking. According to online jail records, the suspect in custody is 36-year-old Eduardo Batten Ordonez. The other four people were detained by the Rawlins County Sheriff's Office, according to the news release. All individuals are presumed innocent until proven guilty, according to the release. On Saturday, August 22nd, at approximately 7 p.m., a deputy with the Thomas County Sheriff's Office conducted a traffic stop on a passenger vehicle traveling westbound on Interstate 70 near mile marker 41. During the traffic stop, the deputy determined that the male driver did not have a valid driver's license. It was also discovered that both the driver and female passenger were wanted by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. As the deputy attempted to take the male driver into custody, he fled on foot, running south across both lanes of Interstate 70 and into a nearby pasture. The deputy pursued the male subject and, with assistance from the Kansas Highway Patrol, was able to take him into custody approximately 1 mile south of the original traffic stop. During the pursuit, the female passenger entered the driver's seat of the vehicle and fled the scene. While fleeing, she collided with another vehicle and crashed. A passing motorist stopped and picked up the female suspect from the scene. Law enforcement officers have not yet located the female suspect suspect and are continuing efforts to locate her. The Thomas County Sheriff's Office would like to thank the Kansas Highway Patrol and Colby Communications for their assistance during this incident. They would also like to thank the Goodland Police Department and the Sherman County Sheriff's Office in their efforts to assist as well. Anyone with information regarding the whereabouts of the female suspect is encouraged to contact the Thomas County Sheriff's Office. All suspects are presumed innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. I'm Joanna. Your KQNK News was brought to you by the Norton County Hospital. You can call the Norton County Hospital at 785-877-3351 for all your health care needs.
Kansas Agriculture Network News.
Good day, everyone. I'm Spencer Dupuis. What were some of the details and trends found in the USDA's latest edition of its Cattle on Feed report issued Friday? Rod Bain has the details.
A rise in cattle inventory in feedlots from the previous year, yet still lower placements. USDA livestock analyst Anthony Fisher provides the latest from the August Cattle on Feed report issued Friday.
On August 1st, the number of cattle on feed in U.S. feedlots of 1,000 head or greater was just over 11.1 million head, which was nearly 200,000 head above August 2025. During July, producers placed about 1.4 million head of cattle on feed, which was about 11% below a year earlier. During July, feedlots marketed over 1.6 million head. Despite marketings coming in right around expectations, placements into feedlots were lower than expected, and they were actually the lowest number for the month of July in the data series going back to 1996. The lower placements appear to be the result of a reduced supply of cattle outside feedlots and a lower calf crop in 2025 and 2026.
I'm Rod Bain reporting, Washington, D.C.
Thanks, Rod. In other news, Pro Farmer is projecting a smaller U.S. corn crop in 2026 after its annual crop tour found lower yields across much of the Corn Belt. The organization estimates the national corn yield at 173.2 bushels per acre, with production totaling 15.344 billion bushels. The year forecast is about 5% below 2025 levels and marks the first time in three growing seasons that the Pro Farmer has not projected a record yield. Pro Farmer economist and Eastern Crop Tour lead Ethan A. Acree said samples showed smaller crops than last year across multiple states. Expectations that Iowa could offset weather-related issues in Indiana and Illinois were tempered by drought in western Iowa. You're listening to Agriculture News right here on the Kansas Ag Network.
You said you'd never buy your kid candy from the checkout aisle or forget extra diapers. And never give in to a meltdown. You'd never lick your thumb to clean their face, never let them have too much screen time, and never bribe them for just one more bite. You say you'd never let them out in public without their hair brushed, never ever become a minivan mom, and you'd never give them your phone for a quiet dinner.
Calling. Boss, work phone.
So when you say you'd never leave your child in a hot car, know it can happen. Cars get hot fast, and kids can be at risk in temperatures as low as 60 degrees Fahrenheit. Never happens. Before you leave the car, always stop, look, lock. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Kansas Agriculture Network Weather.
I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood on the Kansas Agricultural Network. We could see some stormy weather over the next couple of days for a portion of our area, as the frontal boundary works its way slowly to the south and east through our region. It looks like we could see some strong to severe thunderstorms, especially towards evening, in the western portions of Nebraska, Kansas, and Oklahoma region. Then as we head into Tuesday, we'll have that area of concern drift a little bit further to the south and east, still impacting a good portion of Nebraska as well as Kansas, as well as central and western portions of Oklahoma. These are the areas of concern where we could see some larger hail and destructive winds. Taking a closer look at our forecast for the area, we'll see highs in the mid to upper 90s in northwestern and southwestern portions of Kansas. Lots of sunshine. A few clouds this evening, along with a chance of showers and storms, some strong. South Central Kansas seeing those highs in the upper 90s as well. We'll have lots of sunshine, a few clouds developing late, along with a chance of showers and storms overnight. North Central Kansas a bit cooler, with highs in the upper 80s and low 90s. Lots of sunshine through the day, but have a chance of seeing a few showers and storms overnight. Northeastern Kansas, cooler with highs in the low to mid 80s. Lots of sunshine. Southeast Kansas, highs in the upper 80s and low 90s throughout the area. Lots of sun. Overnight, we'll have areas of showers and storms, especially across the western portion of the state. Temperatures across a good portion of the state will be dipping down into the 60s with a few low 70s in south central and southeastern Kansas. This is the Kansas Ag Network. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood with a look at the area's weather.
As we look toward the end of summer and prepare for early fall, it's the perfect time to make sure your pets and equine companions are protected and ready for the changing season. From rotational deworming products to annual vaccines and booster vaccinations, at-home administration options make it easy to keep your animals on schedule. Valley Vet Supply offers a comprehensive selection of trusted animal health products to help you provide quality care with confidence. The products available through Valley Vet are sourced from the same manufacturers and meet the same quality and authenticity standards as those commonly used in veterinary clinics, giving you access to reliable products for your animal's health and wellness. At valleyvet.com, you'll find exceptional value and a large selection of meds and more shipped fast and free on most orders over $75. Find your ranching needs at valleyvet.com or shop their store in Marysville.
Valleyvet.com, valleyvet.com, Valleyvet Supply.
Thanks for listening to KQNK News, serving classic hits Q106.7 and Superstar Country 102.5. Stay connected to your community 24/7 at KQNK.com. And never miss a beat. Grab the free KQNK app for your smartphone.
The High Plains Classic Hits, Q106.7.